Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined by Kyle Long of the Bears and Chris Long of the Eagles. They're joining us on behalf of Applebee's, which has relaunched all-you-can-eat riblets and chicken tenders. And you guys are waging kind of a battle against each other about the riblets and the tenders. Kyle, can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, Chris and I have been kind of butting heads the last few weeks in regard to which is the better all-you-can-eat item here at Applebee's. Although they're both delicious, I'd say the hashtag Team Riblets and the all-you-can-eat Riblets, you know, presents you with the best opportunity for flavor and for satisfaction.
Chris, how many chicken tenders could you eat if you had to do kind of Kobayashi eating contest?
How much time do I have?
Let's say you got a half hour.
In a half hour, I could probably break triple digits pretty easily, I think.
Triple digits in a half hour. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, when we were shooting the ad, which was delicious, it was a delicious experience. I probably had about 26. And that wasn't even when I was applying my willpower. So team tenders all the way, and I could probably do about triple digits of chicken tenders. They were absolutely delicious.
Okay, so you guys are in this commercial together for Applebee's. Your father, Howie, has been in an enormous amount of commercials over the year. He's done ads for Radio Shack, Campbell's Chunky Soup, Coors Light, Skechers, Verizon, Hanes, in which Chris made a cameo, et cetera, et cetera. Kyle, what's your favorite commercial that Howie has been in over the years?
Probably the old school Campbell's Chunky Soup ad where he's beating on the table and saying, "I've been waiting for this all day." And there's like a little kid next to him who's not his kid. It's not one of us, so we're still pissed about that. But
what about Chris?
I will say that the vintage ad.
Yeah, we were a little jealous when we saw that. I would say probably, I think he was in a Coors Light commercial where he was, he killed a rattlesnake with a beer can or something like that. I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but it was quite the CGI experience there. And, I thought it was funny to see him in a Coors Light ad.
I know it's early, Kyle, but what were your impressions of the Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari reality show so far?
You know, I think Kristen did a great job, or has done a great job, of kind of buffing out the edges of Jay. He's an edgy guy. He's an awesome dude. But I think he's shown his true colors on TV, and it gives him a unique opportunity to present himself as is to the fan base that he's accumulated over the years. And obviously, Kristen carries the show. You know, she's a stud. So it's great to see him on there with his wife. And, you know, I'm happy to see that he's finding himself to be more busy than he thought when he was not playing football.
Switching to football talk, Chris, you've won two straight Super Bowls. One as a member of the Patriots, where that's almost standard. And then one as a member of the Eagles, where this was really special and there's a prolonged celebration. How do you guys get back to work after several months of really relishing that special occasion?
Well, having won one there and won one in Philly, I don't think our celebration was any longer than in New England. I just think maybe the fan base wasn't as used to it. So naturally, the fans are going to be excited and be on that high for a little bit longer. But, you know, New England, their fans are very excited when they win a Super Bowl, even though they have, I believe it's five of them. You know, it never gets old. That feeling never gets old. It's so hard to earn. And listen, the hardest thing about repeating is kind of what you alluded to. It is not kind of joining the fan base and rightfully celebrating what happened last year, but getting back to business. And that's what any great team does, whether that's New England or the Eagles. It's time to get back to work. And the off season, by virtue of playing in February, gets a lot shorter. So, you know, not only do you not have a lot of time physically, mentally you have to move on, and you're going to deal with things like the banner getting lowered week one. You're going to have a lot of those fans that you're kind of alluding to telling you how awesome you are. You got to turn that target on your back into a chip on your shoulder somehow.
Kyle, you're on the Bears, and you're in the NFC North. There's a bunch of really good quarterbacks in the division. Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford have been there a while. The Vikings just signed Kirk Cousins. Do you think that this year Mitchell Trubisky can rise to the level of that competition?
Yeah, you know, I've always had faith in Mitch since day one. Getting to know him, you realize he's poised and he's a leader naturally, and that kind of thing comes easy to him. The thing that we needed to do as a team was surround him with weapons, and I think that Ryan Pace has done a great job bringing in, first and foremost, a great weapon in Matt Nagy, our new head coach and offensive coordinator. And he'll be able to tailor the offense to what Mitch's strengths are. And then, obviously, bringing in some players such as Allen Robinson from the Jaguars, who's going to be a great addition to our team, will help out Mitch tremendously. Obviously, we have great running backs, and our defense, it goes without saying, we have a really good defense.
Chris, you played on the Patriots for a bit, and after you left, it really seemed to get to a combustible situation last year with Garoppolo getting traded, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick maybe butting heads behind the scenes, the whole Alex Guerrero dynamic. What were your thoughts on reading some of those stories that came out, given that you were no longer experiencing it firsthand, but were familiar with all of the key characters?
Well, I just think any NFL team, any NFL locker room, under a lot of stress over a year period, there are going to be storylines that people can choose to kind of blow out of proportion or not pay attention to. And when you're one of the hallmark franchises in the sports world, I think everybody's going to pay attention to sometimes really small issues. You know, it hasn't, whatever people are alluding to going on up there hasn't affected their play. It hasn't affected their bottom line. It hasn't affected how they execute on Sundays, and that's what they pride themselves in. And, you know, when you got the greatest quarterback of all time and, you know, possibly the greatest coach of all time, you know, that's why they're in those big games. And it took everything for us to beat them. It took a heroic performance by you know, Nick Foles and the rest of our team, and we had to play our best game. So, you know, while everybody likes to always point to the Patriots as being, you know, under duress, or, you know, there's some drama in the locker room or whatever, there's drama, or there are stories that you could blow out of proportion in every locker room. They're just on top, and those stories sell because they've been so great. And it hasn't affected them. They've been right there. They were a player or two away from beating us. They're a Hail Mary bounce away from forcing overtime in the Super Bowl this past year. And it took everything to beat them.
When you're in that game and on the sidelines, do you realize Malcolm Butler isn't playing? And are you thinking about that?
Honestly, I didn't realize at all. I mean, you know, it's a big deal because he's a really good player, but and obviously there was a lot of talk afterwards, but I don't pay attention to that stuff because I'm so into what I'm doing as a player. When you're playing Tom Brady and Gronk and all those weapons they have, and the way they move the ball up and down the field, I don't really have time to kind of survey their sideline or see who's playing nickel or lining up at corner or who's on Alshon. I got to focus on what I'm doing, or we're going to get 50 hung on us.
So I wanted to ask both of you this question about the anthem protests. I don't want to adjudicate the whole issue, but let's say the owners came to the players and said, Look, there's a portion of our fan base that is really offended by the fact that the national anthem is supposed to be, in their mind, sacred, and that kneeling during it is disrespectful to some of the people who are more connected with the World War II generation than I think any of the three of us may be directly. But we understand your desire to bring a light to social justice. Is there any deal that we can make with you that everybody would stand for the anthem this year? Kyle, do you think there's anything that the owners could bring to the players in that regard to solve it? Or do you think that these storylines are going to continue to persist?
Well, first and foremost, on the Bears, I don't think we had anybody that knelt. And, you know, I can't echo that same sentiment, or I'm not knowledgeable enough about the other teams to know who knelt and who stood. But, you know, my job is to play football, and that's really what I'm out there to do. And, you know, I know one way to keep the fans happy, and that's try to get wins in the record book. And that's really all I'm here to try to do.
Yeah. I mean, and Kyle made a good point. I mean, the Bears and a lot of other teams didn't have anybody kneeling by the end of the year. So what the NFL did is, they made a rule, as I've said before, towards the end of the year, that's just going to cause more, drama and going to incur more, heartache for the NFL if they're looking at it from a business perspective, because a lot of players are going to say, well, now my right to express myself is being infringed upon. And I understand that at the workplace, you know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, hit my Twitter up and say, well, I can't express myself. What if I knelt for the anthem at my work? I'd be fired. And I'm just like, well, do you have to stand for the anthem every morning at work? To which, of course, there's always a silence. And, I mean, you referenced World War II. I mean, a lot of, you know, African-American men that served in that war came home to a country where they didn't have the same rights. So just perspective is everything. We live in a wonderful country. I think a lot of times, you know, supporting people's right to protest gets lost as, well, I don't like my country. I love this country. And I want to improve it, and I think a lot of those guys do want to improve it, and they've done things off the field too. It'd be one thing if you were protesting something, you didn't do anything about it. To a man, nearly all the guys, and there were very few at the end of the year who were demonstrating that in that manner, have done a lot to better their communities.
Thank you, Chris and Kyle. Really appreciate your time. They're here on behalf of Applebee's, promoting all-you-can-eat riblets and chicken tenders. Appreciate your insights on this podcast.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, hashtag Team Riblets, baby.
Hashtag Team Tenders, man. I could eat 100. I'll do it.
100. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, and good luck this season, except maybe to Kyle because I'm a Packers fan.
Okay, well, we'll see you twice.
Have a good one. Bye. Yeah.
Turn stranger.